Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of 1 Timothy chapter 5, we were taught that a pastor is to keep himself pure, both in his earthly life and his doctrinal stand. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
When preachers change from Bible or holy standards, standards that are righteous, when they take standards that are against the flesh and are in the spirit, and they begin to change, the Bible instructs the Christian to meddle not with them that are given to change. And that's the pastor. You get away from him. And if he doesn't leave your church, then you leave the church and go to a church where you do find one who preaches and teaches the Word of God as it is to men as they are. I know that hits some people the wrong way, but let God be true and every man a liar. Now we see another imperative command here. He says, keep thyself pure. Pure speaks of freedom from defilement and chastity. And I believe there's a twofold application. First, it is dealing with moral purity. He's to be true to his wife. He's not looking at pornography on the internet. He's not looking at pornography on anything. As a matter of fact, I think that it's, well, as a pastor, I've instructed that my computer is to be checked. And my wife at home can check our computer, and she always has the right to come up and check my computer at any time. Make sure that there's nothing that is pornographic or nothing that is fleshly upon it that would lead to moral impurity. Secondly, I believe keep thyself pure is also referring to doctrinal purity, since verse 17 refers to doctrine and the word as it starts out this Greek paragraph. You see, too many have gotten involved in the contemporary movement or the emerging church movement, and they've broken this imperative. You might say they're pragmatic. Now, pragmatism, within the context of Christian ministry, entails the implementation of any practice or program into the ministry that appears to produce results, regardless of whether or not such practices or programs coincide with biblical principles of ministry. Pragmatism embraces the philosophy that the end justifies the means. In a sense, it denies the war between the flesh and the spirit and tries to take the black and white and mix them into a gray. Therefore, those who espouse a pragmatic philosophy of ministry use methods and programs such as cooperative evangelism, worldly gimmicks, rock, contemporary Christian music, which I really call it religious rock music, and all the like in their churches and ministries, because such practices and programs appear to draw larger crowds to the church, win people to Christ, etc., etc. Well, my friend, what you win them with is what you win them to. And if you win them with the flesh, you've won them to the flesh. And that leads to destruction. So, again, too many have broken this imperative to keep thyself pure. Now we see the fourth imperative command here. Use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine oft infirmities. In verse 23, Now, he's not speaking of alcoholic wine. Now, in this area of Ephesus, the water was very alkaline. People of the area did this even into the 20th century. They'd squeeze the juice of the grapes and then boil it with water to make a syrup. Then they would drink, and it would help alleviate the problems of their stomach. So if you're using this verse for justifying social drinking, then drink the same stuff. That, you know, take grapes and just go ahead and squeeze them, and then mix with a water but do it to where you get a good thick syrup, and then drink it that way, and then you'll be being very biblical. You'll be social drinking the way they did it in how this particular passage is referring. Now again, I want you to see that it's not wrong for Christians to use some of these means that we see here as they are serving the Lord and they seek to serve the Lord. As you pray. Now, for example, he says here, verse 23, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake, and then off infirmities. We should pray for people to be healed that are sick. And Paul prays for Timothy. But he also suggests a practical remedy. Now, he didn't lay hands on Timothy to heal him, as Paul had healed others early in the ministry. See, healing always has a purpose. And the purpose is not to make it a miracle of a sideshow kind of a thing, but rather is to show the deity of Christ, but also the power to preach and the use of the one being healed for ministry. Years ago, I knew this lady. She found out she had cancer in its very early stages. And a doctor said they could get it and save her. But she was listening at the time to Oral Roberts. And she felt like, well, God would heal her. And so she refused to go to the medical doctor for the treatment and everything else that was needed. Well, she died as the cancer spread. See, sometimes we can tempt God. God does give us instruction to look out for the physical well-being. God allows doctors to do what they can do. What the doctors cannot do is what we ask God to do. Now, many times I've been in the hospital praying for people that are in there, and I've said, Lord, help the doctors to see what they may have missed and to know exactly what to do about it. And then what they cannot see or what they cannot do, I pray that you would make the difference. Okay? In other words, I'm not asking God to do what men can do. I'm asking God to do what men cannot do. It's kind of like mowing the yard. You don't pray for the grass to shrink so you don't have to mow it, but you pray for the weather to be good for you to be able to mow the lawn. Although I kind of like the idea at times of the grass shrinking, but no, it's not a lack of faith that the grass doesn't shrink. It's really that is something that you can do. And that takes us on into verses 24 and 25. It says, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And some men they follow after. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand. And they that are otherwise cannot be hid. We see good men and bad men within the church. That's just the way it is. There will always be tares among the wheat, Jesus said. So understand, there will be tares among the wheat. There will always be hypocrites in the church. Now, isn't it funny? Somebody says, I'm not going to go to that church because they have hypocrites in it. I'm just as good as they are. They're going to heaven, I'm going to heaven. Well, my friend, they may not be going to heaven. Isn't it interesting you don't stay away from the grocery store? The restaurant, the ball games, You watch programs on television that has a bunch of hypocrites on them. So, first of all, you're being totally inconsistent. But secondly, go ahead and neglect the Lord, and you'd be in hell with those people where you don't escape. And you're right there with the hypocrites. So don't be a hypocrite by using the argument that I'm not going because of the hypocrites that are there. Now, some men's sins, we're told, are open ahead of time, and they must be dealt with right then. Others, we won't know about them until we get to heaven. But we'll see. That sin that was hid, maybe it was a relationship with another person other than your mate. And you got away with it. Or you got found, but you didn't tell the whole truth. Understand that it will be known then. And then you'll see a loss of reward. You'll see the hindrance that it brought to the local church. So understand that it may not be known, but God knows it, God sees it, and something will be done about it. However, in verse 25, he said, likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they are otherwise cannot be hid. God also knows about those things as well. Now, some are manifest beforehand, and people should be commended. But others who aren't readily seen are not hid from God and will be well rewarded in heaven. Now, we have a young lady in our church that, boy, she does all kinds of stuff. But if you go to recognize her in church, you won't see her. She'll literally duck down behind a wall somewhere so she can't be seen and won't have to go in front of everybody. She doesn't want anybody to know. And yet, she probably does more work than most. There are people that don't want to be recognized. And that's all right. But God sees it, and he's going to reward it well in heaven. I was talking to a pastor who was hurting. A member of his church had died. And the man had done some good things in church, like ushering and that. But he wasn't really noted as an outstanding leader or somebody that was doing this outstanding great work in the church. But the pastor told me this man prayed for over an hour every day for him as a pastor and for the church. And he could see the answer to prayers himself. The pastor said, now I wonder who will take his place.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send it your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.